Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Do you know what happened last night? Do you know what took place yesterday? Do you know what our president did this morning at 7 o'clock? He made a speech about signing a nuclear deal with Iran, the enemy of America, the enemy of Israel. As a matter of fact, here is the president now talking about what happened. Watch.
For at least the next 15 years, Iran will not build any new heavy water reactors. Iran must abide by the deal before additional sanctions are lifted, including 5 years for restrictions related to arms and 8 years for restrictions related to ballistic missiles. All of this will be memorialized and endorsed in a new United Nations Security Council resolution. If, in a worst-case scenario, Iran violates the deal, the same options that are available to me today will be available to any U.S. president in the future. And I have no doubt that 10 or 15 years from now, the person who holds this office will be in a far stronger position, with Iran further away from a weapon, and with the inspections and transparency that allow us to monitor the Iranian program. And we're dealing with a country, Iran, that has been a sworn adversary of the United States for over 35 years. So I welcome a robust debate in Congress on this issue, and I welcome scrutiny of the details of this agreement. But I will remind Congress that you don't make deals like this with your friends. We negotiated arms control agreements with the Soviet Union when that nation was committed to our destruction, and those agreements ultimately made us safer. So I will veto any legislation that prevents the successful implementation of this deal.
Did you hear that? I mean, the whole speech is available for you at VFNTV.com on the torch, but he's saying that, yeah, I'm open for a robust discussion, but if anything that you do that tries to stop this, I'll veto it. He's totally, what is his plan? And we're going to be talking about what was the vision, what's the vision of the president? But first, we want to be able to go to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who just spoke in response to this plan as it's unfolding and they're finding out the details. Let's go to Israel right now.
I will comment on the details of the agreement as they emerge. But I'd like to say, here and now, that whenever there is a readiness to make a deal at any cost, this is the result. Judging by the initial reports that have emerged, one can now reach the conclusion that this agreement is a historic mistake for the entire world. In every area that was supposed to prevent Iran from gaining the capacity to arm itself with nuclear weapons, far-reaching concessions were made. In addition, Iran will receive hundreds of billions of dollars, which it can use as a means to fuel its terror machine. Its aggression and its expansionism in the Middle East and throughout the world. It is impossible to prevent an agreement when those negotiating it are willing to make more and more concessions to those who, during the talks, are chanting, "Death to America." We knew very well that the desire to sign an agreement was stronger than anything else, so we did not promise to prevent an agreement. We did promise to prevent Iran from arming itself with nuclear weapons, and this promise remains valid. I'd like to say to all of the leaders in Israel, now is the time to put aside petty politics and unite around the most fateful of issues for the future and security of the state of Israel.
$100 billion is being released to the state that sponsors terrorism around the world. Our president just signed a deal with the Secretary of State, John Kerry, which we talked about that prophetically, and we'll talk more about that today, that puts $100 billion, according to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in the hands of Iran. The enemy of Israel, the enemy of America, they're taking missiles, and we showed you this, and you can see it on the VFN torch. They are sending missiles into mock-up aircraft carriers of America. They're saying they want to push America in the sea. And our leader, our government, all of our government, just signed this deal against, as a matter of fact, what does it really mean? And this is going to help you understand, what does it mean to cut this deal? Although this is kind of giving you a little futuristic thing, well, the future is here. So when you see this, realize this is exactly what it means. Take a look at this.
The world agrees, Iran plus an atomic bomb equals bad news, must be stopped. Why? Iran is the biggest exporter of terror in the world, spreading instability and death. Iranian missiles threaten the Western world, including Madrid, Rome, and Paris. And they're developing new ones, which can reach the United States. Under the deal being proposed, Iran will halt its race towards an atomic bomb in return for the lifting of the sanctions, which have been slowing it down. However, Iran's ability to make a bomb will remain intact. Now this is a big problem. Let's do a little bit of math to understand why. It takes between 2,500 and 3,000 centrifuges operating for a full year to enrich enough uranium for one nuclear bomb. Iran has a total of 19,000 centrifuges, which, if operated together, can produce a bomb within 6 to 7 weeks. Iran's plan is to reach a deal which relieves the sanctions without giving up the machines. Then, at the right opportunity, it will dash towards a bomb before the world has a chance to say boo. After all, this plan worked for its best buddy, North Korea. Like North Korea, Iran has an impressive track record of violating international agreements, including 6 Security Council resolutions. The difference between a good deal and a bad deal is one that includes dismantling the machines. This would give the world 3 years to know if Iran is building a bomb, to form a global coalition, and to take action. 6 weeks are simply not enough. Iran with a bomb is a global threat and will turn the Middle East into a nuclear nightmare. We need to do everything we can to stop it.
This is what was just signed yesterday. This is what our president's talking about today at 7 o'clock this morning, Eastern Time. This is what's happening in our nation. And the nation sleeps. Well, Israel, what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's response was, we're going to have to respond. We're going to respond, even if we have to stand alone. Do you remember when he was standing before Congress when we showed you what he said? Take a look at this.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Think about that. They're saying they're going to respond. When you heard his speech, he's saying they're going to respond. What's going on? What is the vision? What was this vision, this 8-year vision that was going to happen and come to pass in 2016? Because President Obama's vision for 2016, think about it, is 6 months away. Today. It's about 6 months away, the fruition, potentially, of his vision. As a matter of fact, Dinesh D'Souza, the former president of King's College in New York, he began to share with us this vision. Let's take a glimpse at it now, but after the break, we're going to go in detail and see what's coming to pass. Take a look.
For a long time, I sat between the two graves and wept. The pain I felt was my father's pain. My questions were my brother's questions. Their struggle, my birthright.
Obama has a dream from his father, that the sins of colonialism be set right and America be downsized.
Americans did not know him, and he knew that too. And he knew people were projecting all of these things onto him.
It's been a long time coming. But tonight, because of what we did on this day, in this election, at this defining moment, change has come to America.
You got to join us after the break because we're going to go in detail. What were these predictions? We're 6 months away from these, and you're going to be a surprise. Most of them have come to pass, and the signing of this deal of a nuclear Iran was probably the key part of it, as you heard earlier as they talked about it.
Is this amazing? Who would have ever thought that the president of the United States, who said in Cairo, Egypt, in his first international speech that he considered it his job to defend Islam, every negative stereotype of Islam, wherever it's found in the world, and also before the United Nations, he said the future does not belong to those who
slander
the prophet of Islam. By the way, you know, saying Jesus is the Son of God would be considered
a slander.
And now all of a sudden we're, what is coming? This is so, it's so obvious, you know, what's happening in the world. Our God is still in control, but it makes me think about, you know, what you were talking about this time last year. What was happening this time last year?
This time last year, and we have short memories, but this time last year, Israel was actually defending herself from Hamas. And so right around June-ish.
But remember, they were finding inside like rice bags and stuff and missiles from Iran. We have on the torch, we have for you, when Hamas was attacking Israel, Iran was supplying those missiles. Remember all those missiles they had laid out by that ship?
Yep. Not only that, but the underground tunnels that were found from Egypt, by the way. And so you're looking at all these things unfolding. This is that moment. And, you know, is this really the beginning of a nuclear arms race? I know we'll probably talk more about that in
the reports are Saudi Arabia is, you know, obviously they're starting to head that way now to be able to do it. I mean, if North Korea can have nuclear weapons, you know Saudis and all the guys like that can have them. And remember this, as we're talking about these things, you need to know as a Christian what you need to be doing. Every nation is going to be gathered in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And we're going to be judged off what we did with the land of Israel. That's the decision in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And you not being silent, that is a decision. You know, not standing up is a decision. Being ashamed of your faith is a decision.
One of the things that helps with that is seeing yourself as a global Christian as you are.
Yes.
Because if you see yourself as a global Christian, then you won't say that those nuclear weapons are their problem over there. Because we have brothers and sisters in Syria, in Egypt, in Israel.
But Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, we had his whole speech right here at PAN or whatever the particular event he was speaking in America. He said, America, I got news for you. Iran has had missiles for years that can reach us. These missiles they're building now, they're for you. He said, these scuds for you, America. That's what he said. You heard that in our intro today. So what is his vision? What, you know, everybody has a vision, maybe, possibly. And our president is... has a vision based on Dinesh D'Souza, what, you know, where things are going and what he kind of sees in 2016. He called it, I believe, Obama 2016, trying to understand, you know, what the vision is. And these things are coming to pass. So now we're actually playing what Dinesh said early on. This was like 5 years ago or something.
Yes.
Now listen to it. This deal signed with Iran for these nuclear power, people who understand this, and we have this on the torch so you can see it. This is a country who's a religious leader, who's the really one, Ayatollah, who's the one heading this thing. Well, actually, he's the one under the one heading it.
Right.
But he's texting, or his people are texting, to destroy America, destroy Israel, while they're actually negotiating these things.
Death to America while they blow up a simulated, you know,
aircraft carrier. Yes. And all our Christians, including Pastor...
Saeed Abdi.
He's in jail there, being mistreated.
3 years now.
We're cutting deals while they actually have Christian pastors in jail, American pastors in jail in Iran. To me, it just looks like this is persecution against JJ, the Jews and Jesus, the church and Jews. And you're seeing this is nothing. This is like the days of Germany that's going on.
Yeah. Can you talk to us about the dream where God spoke to you, John Kerry?
Yeah, I got to tell you this before you go back. We go to Dinesh's predictions there. But, you know, as soon as John Kerry got given the position as Secretary of State, remember, prior to him was his counterpart.
Hillary Clinton.
Yes, Hillary
Clinton.
Clinton.
Yes.
Wasn't she married to President?
Bill Clinton? Yeah.
Yes. You know her. Remember her? She was the one. She was Secretary of State.
Yes.
I think she ran. She ran. Anyway, so he replaced her. And but the vision, this vision for 2016 was carried on. And the Lord, but this is what the Lord showed me. I had a night vision. And this night vision, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about any of this stuff. God's just downloading this stuff to us, and we're just sharing it, you know, what he's saying. And, but he shows me walking with John Kerry. Now, John Kerry has not yet been appointed as Secretary of State. And we're walking side by side, and we're going up, and I'm thinking, I'm probably looking at John like, what's his name? And I think somebody tells me, you know, it's John Kerry. And so I'll go talk to John Kerry. And all of a sudden, when he made it to the top floor, when he got put in that position, immediately the church lost its authority and was put into a place of communal living, if you would. You know, the Jews in Germany were put into, you know, ghettos and these type of things. But immediately persecution began as soon as he got there. And not only that, that God gave me the very exact time that he would stand up and begin these Zelensky tactics, these Rule for Radicals things. And he did. He came live on television. Yeah. And I looked right at Pat and I said, Pat, like the very exact time that he would say it. And he said it the very same time that God gave me. And this whole thing has been being walked out. He just kind of stepped into that plan. You know what I'm talking about?
If you think about it, as you're talking about this, I'm actually even connecting more dots. We hadn't seen the Christian persecution, the persecution on Christians up until after that moment here in America, in the United States.
Yes.
It seemed right after that the acceleration
started. Our Secretary of State went to Israel and threatened, threatened Israel, economy was doing well, things are doing great, that if you don't do this, you don't want a third intifada, right? Yeah. He threatened an uprising. And what do you know? It was amazing how somehow he knew prophetically that there's going to be one. If they did, I don't think he knew prophetic. I think it was part of their plans. And so we want to find out, I hope we have enough time before this next break coming up, because we're going to have to do it after this next break, because I want you to hear it in its entirety, because he just nails it. Dinesh, you know, nails it what it is. And you don't know until it actually happens.
And what's interesting about this is that Dinesh D'Souza, who was a former president of King's College and wrote a book about several books, this this documentary came out right before the previous election. And so,
This is 5 years
ago. This was 5 years ago. The understanding is to try to find out what is the ideology, the worldview, and to predict how the president was going to be able to make decisions on the world stage.
I thought it was done because don't you want to understand things? Don't you want to know things? It was done in a way to kind of get a better peripheral understanding of our leader.
Sure.
We met his brother, right? He was in there.
In Kenya, I believe.
Kenya's family.
He flew out to Kenya.
His father, you know, where his father was buried in Kenya. And he had the book as Dreams from My Father. And you just kind of start learning that he was mentored reportedly by a whole bunch of folks who just think very negatively about America. And up until just the last moment in time, his mentors were people that just don't think a democracy, a republic form of government, was a good thing, and that it needs to be humbled, you know, put in its place. It's on its high horse or something. But then the second movie that he came out with, and these are not just movies entertainment, they're just like, they nail things. Imagine the world without America. And hopefully we'll have that for you, you know, this program or a future program, but you know, just understanding what would it be like? Because from the time of the Garden of Eden, remember Cain and Abel? I mean, there's been evil on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
So to think that you're shocked that evil happened. And what he says in this particular documentary that, you know, America has done less evil, you know, historically over all these other nations that existed about, you know, allowing people to own land and these different things that don't normally happen. I mean, America and Israel are two unique pieces of real estate that God has obviously blessed Israel, and he's allowed America to be where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go to break. When we come back from this break, I want you to be able to, you're going to be just so, it's going to give you a peripheral understanding. Today is a very important day. You know, you need to shake yourself. They just signed a deal with the enemy of God, whose son is Jesus, enemy of Israel, you know, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the enemy of America. That's a big deal. That's a very big deal. I think this is the last covenant that kind of needed to be made in regards to a dark direction that we're going. And make sure you also join us in our next program, because we're going to talk about, you know, although it's going to be the worst of times, it's going to be the best of times, because in the kingdom-wise, regards to God's kingdom, that you're going to look at a great third great awakening coming and revival coming, but it's going to be in difficult times. Let's just go right straight to Dinesh D'Souza. He's talking about, you know, what would 2016 look like in 5 years, because that's when he did it, and with this signing of this nuclear deal, America with Iran, you know, the enemy of Israel, the enemy of Jesus, you know, and the enemy of America, you know, what in the world is going on? But let's just see what his predictions were. Take a look.
In the film 2016, I advanced what seemed to be a kind of outlandish theory about Obama, that Obama had imbibed the anti-colonial philosophy of his dad, Barack Obama Sr. And this anti-colonialism shapes Obama's worldview and helps us to predict what Obama's going to do. It not only explains what he is doing, but it allows us to foretell and anticipate things that he's going to do. In the film, we made some fairly specific predictions about Obama, and this is not a bad time to review those predictions and see if they have in fact come true. So one of the predictions is that Obama would spend money promiscuously to raise the debt in virtual indifference to the impact of the debt on American citizens. In fact, Obama has been racking up the debt at the rate of $1 trillion a year. The debt has doubled in Obama's term in office. So Bush was a big spender, but even in his most profligate days, Bush was spending $500 billion. Obama has doubled that on an annual basis. The country is now almost $17 trillion in debt. That's bigger than our gross domestic product. And that's an awful burden to saddle our children and grandchildren. It's also a burden that drags the economy down and redistributes wealth away from America to the rest of the world. Why? Because in the past, much of our debt was owed to other Americans. But now, a significant portion of our debt, about a third, is owed to foreigners. Our debt is owed to Kuwaitis and Saudis and Chinese. And so when we incur debt and have to pay it back, and at some point you have to pay, this is a transfer of hundreds of billions, in fact, trillions of dollars out of the United States and to other countries. My theory about Obama was that he wanted and wants global redistribution, and debt is a weapon of global redistribution. My second prediction is that Obama wants to shrink the influence of American foreign policy. This is not the unintentional effect of a blundering president. If you want that, you have to go to Jimmy Carter. When Jimmy Carter pulled the Persian rug out from the Shah of Iran, oops, he got Khomeini. He didn't know he was going to get somebody who would be congenitally hostile to American foreign policy, so he was surprised. But when Obama supports the Muslim Brotherhood, he knows that this is the oldest and most powerful organization of radical Islam in the world. He knows that the Muslim Brotherhood is trying to consolidate its power not only in Egypt, but throughout the Middle East. And yet, when the Muslim Brotherhood comes to power, Obama doesn't seem perturbed. In fact, he seems kind of excited. When the military pushes out the Muslim Brotherhood, Obama seems flummoxed. He doesn't really know what to do. Suddenly, you've got guys who used to be allies with the United States, the Egyptian military. And what does Obama do? He cuts American aid to the military to antagonize those guys. It's almost like he's looking to take Egypt, which is a longtime ally, and make it into an enemy. Now you might say, wait a minute, Obama's, you know, he couldn't help it. There was Tahrir Square, there were the students in the streets, America believes in democracy. Surely Obama has no choice but to support democracy in Egypt. But wait a minute. In 2009, there were massive pro-democracy demonstrations in Iran. Did Obama back the democracy movement? No, he opposed it. He, in fact, said, let's stay out. He said, let's leave things to, and I quote him, the supreme leader. The Iranian mullahs, they bring out the police, they beat up the protesters, and that's the end of the democracy movement in Iran. So there's a real double standard in Obama's treatment of Iran, where he opposed the democracy movement, and Egypt, where he supported it. Now, when an intelligent man does something that's contradictory, it's not because he's a fool. It's because he's up to something else. The difference between Iran and Egypt is that Iran is an adversary of the United States. And Obama seems to have no interest in weakening our adversaries, while he does seem to have an interest in weakening our allies. This double standard can be seen also in the way that Obama has treated Libya on the one hand and Syria on the other. So when there was an uprising in Benghazi under Gaddafi, Obama moves into action. He says, there's genocide going on in Libya. We've got to stop it. We've got to use U.S. airplanes. We need NATO. We essentially need to bomb Gaddafi into oblivion. We've got to get rid of the regime. And we did, using a massive display of military force. Now, how many people were killed in Libya by Gaddafi in this action that Obama calls genocide? It turns out approximately 250. Meanwhile, in Syria, over the past 2 years, there has been going on a real genocide in which there's a civil uprising against Assad, the dictator. Assad has been using chemical weapons and brutal force in the face of the world watching. And there have been people screaming for intervention. Obama has flatly refused. Not just tens of thousands, but hundreds of thousands of people have been killed in Syria. No intervention. Now, finally, Obama says, well, all right, we're going to work to stop chemical weapons in Syria. And even though we're stopping the chemical weapons, we're doing nothing to remove Assad from power. So the question then becomes again, why the double standard? Why intervene in Libya to stop, you may say, mini-genocide, while not intervening to stop big genocide in Syria? Well, there's a simple answer to that. Gaddafi, the former dictator of Libya, was doing business with the United States. Now, I wouldn't say Gaddafi was an ally. He was actually a bad boy in the 70s and 80s. But after the invasion of Iraq, Gaddafi shaped up. He was outing terrorists. He helped to out the Pakistani AQ Khan. He was paying reparations to the families who were victims of terrorism. He paid reparations to the victims of the Lockerbie bombing. Gaddafi was behaving himself, and we got rid of him. Meanwhile, Assad is our deadly enemy. In fact, Assad is allied with the mullahs of Iran. Assad and Iran have been working together to undermine U.S. influence in the region. So if you were trying to find a consistent way to predict what Obama's doing in the Middle East, it's very simple. He's been undermining our allies, and he's been allowing our adversaries to remain in power. This is precisely what we predicted that he would do, and this is precisely what...
This is that moment in time. You think about it. This is that moment in time. This is that moment in time when you think about, we've been talking about it, this coming land grab. All this land that you see people that are in today that we've talked about previously, that's actually Israel's land. And they're going to have to take it, not because they're demanding it. Notice this, when you start seeing reports of them doing what they got to do to survive, when everybody starts saying, oh, they're just taking stuff, they tried to live at peace and even give up their land to be able to make peace with those they're living with. But people just keep on tunneling in, people shoot missiles in. America now is cutting deals with their enemy. As a matter of fact, Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, talked about this in the coming land grab. As a matter of fact, take a look at this now.
I want to say to America, and I have no platform really to say anything like this, this grandiose, but I want to say, just say this in the atmosphere here at Mobile Bay. I just want to say to America, and I want to say to Israel and to all their Arab neighbors, and I want to say to Great Britain and all the nations, I want to say to you, you're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous. It's going to be so awful. And it's going to be so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth will not even know how to respond. Their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel, and God will pour out His grace and His mercy even upon the United States of America. I believe the revival is going to come to the nations of the earth. Somebody help me say amen.
You think about this. You think about this, that this is it. It's, you know, it's like, this is not a drill.
This is that.
This is not a drill. This is the real deal. This is this just really, truly happened. And up until the very last moment, as we talked about it, but you've got to read, you know, Metaxas' book on Bonhoeffer, right?
Eric Metaxas.
Eric Metaxas. And it's just, you got to read it because it's the same. He said after writing all that autobiography on Bonhoeffer, he says, we are exactly in the very same place that the people who professed to be Christians at that time with their leader, Hitler, who was going in a certain direction. Then suddenly there's things shift. And think about this. And we've talked about this before.
This is Munich 1938 all over again with Chamberlain and Hitler.
Cutting those deals. And you're looking at one day, and it's not just Jews. It was Jews and Christians and people that were against, that stood up for what was right. One day the Jews were in their homes running their businesses, and like the next day, America, the next day they were walking down the streets taking whatever they could, and people were throwing manure at them as they were walking, still in like a mink coat and things that, you know, all that luxury type items. It was evil. This is an evil plot coming against Christians and Jews, coming against God's folks. As a matter of fact, it's time to be urgently warning about this. And it seems that people are just deathly silent. As a matter of fact, I know that even Pastor Kilpatrick talked about, you know, how urgent this moment is. I mean, it's an amazing thing that, what are people talking about? They're talking about Starbucks. About? They're talking about political parties. They're talking about, you know, money, stuff, sports. I mean, it doesn't matter what's digitally. This is what really concerns me.
Yeah.
That so many people have done so many things virtually that when you get punched in the face, you won't even know what that is because they think because they're fighting virtually and they're doing things virtually, they're going, and it kind of feels like you're really doing it because your brain is designed, if you can see it, it feels like you've actually, you know, built something or done something or that type of thing. And so all of a sudden, when you're starting to see, like we just saw, you know, six miracles, God do six miracles, many people's brains are going to be saying, oh, this is just that same stuff that wasn't real. And it's like, no, God is a healer. As a matter of fact, right before we go to break, I want you to hear this urgent warning from Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence.
Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, I have many ministers, and they are speaking on my behalf. But he said, what's missing is the urgency of their voice. These mega churches are really cognizant not to offend people. And they're really careful when they get up and preach to people that everybody leaves out there feeling really good. Preachers refuse to preach on the coming of Jesus Christ. Where's the urgency? I have never seen America in the place where we are right now. If you think that all the persecution is going to remain in Iraq against the Christians, you better think again. It's already coming into this country right now. If we don't tell people what they need to hear, God's going to hold us accountable and their blood will be on our hands. Whenever we preach, we've got to preach with an urgency in our voice that we need to be right with God if anything should happen to us. There's things right now in motion that may change our nation almost overnight. And for me to stand here and act like everything's all right, I can't do that. The politicians in Washington can do that and lead you to believe that everything's going to be okay. But in the house of God, there's got to arise a siren that says, blast, 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 attention, attention, attention. Things are changing and they're changing quickly. We've got to have preachers in the pulpit that will say, watch out, warning, warning, red light, warning. People know something's going on in the Middle East. They know something's going on in Iraq, in Iran, in Damascus. They know about Iran. And people that's not even scripturally literate are trying to answer these things, and they're missing in a million miles. And God's saying to the preachers, get up and tell them. It's time to talk about what God's doing. People are seeking the Lord. People are seeking Christ. And if they don't find Him in the church, where are they going to find Him? I have a question. Where is the urgency?
think about all these things going on. You know, and those that have been with us over the years, you know, we've been talking about this.
Yes.
God does nothing unless he reveals it to his folks first. And those that happen to hear, we call those prophets, but they're just hearing what God's saying. If they open their mouth, they're prophets. Yeah. You know, a lot of people are hearing like, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. It's like, where were you if you knew that was going to happen?
Everyone's an expert afterwards.
This is important.
It's very
important. This is important because talk to us, you know, briefly about Hurricane Sandy and what took place in New York.
You know, I lived in New Jersey, 15 minutes outside of New York. We were doing ministry work there, and right before the Hurricane Sandy came. Now, I thought I was leaving hurricanes in Florida, but they came up in New Jersey, New York.
Now, they knew
area.
Nothing
These
about hurricanes.
Nothing about hurricanes. And so I was, you know, sharing with those that I was mentioning to and other people how you can get prepared and get supplies.
Because we're thinking, my goodness, they're going to be ripe and ready for harvest because as soon as tragedy happens, they're going to say, dear Lord, help us, right? You're just they're going to be so open to instruction. They're going to be so teachable, right?
Wrong.
What happened?
First of all, when, you know, some took the warning, which was great, but many people, what I found in my experience was as soon as the news began to share just a little bit of information, everyone instantly became an expert. And they, although they've never been in a hurricane, never experienced
They talked like
no
it was actually their
power,
idea, what they heard.
It was
they
their knew, idea. They were telling me the same wisdom I gave them just a few minutes ago.
Right.
And it was sad to realize that their main important thing that they needed to take care of was making sure that their cell phone was charged.
Charged, yes.
And so this is important because we're sharing a warning now, and it's important for us to take heed and to
and
apply
it because
in your life.
You can't go with the assumption that a stiff-necked, stubborn, hard-headed, rebellious person, just because tragedy happens, all of a sudden they're going to go, Father, could you please help me now? I think I want to clean my room and do some things. I mean, that doesn't just all of a sudden happen. It takes a process normally to get there, you know?
And what I found is during that time, all they're thinking about, they're not thinking about God. They're thinking about self-preservation, how they can get through it, and what they need to do. You know,
self-survival.
Self-survival, that's
self-survival.
It.
And self is what got us into this thing.
Hello.
And so here we are, this particular moment prophesied, you know, about this coming land grab. Understand this and remember this. Write it down so you can go back and read it. When the press of the world and the political leaders of the world, when the kings try to wage war against God, as he talks about in Acts chapter 6 and Isaiah 2, I believe, or Psalms, that you can go back and say, wait a minute, Israel did everything that they could do trying for this not to happen. You know, Israel will succeed. Israel will succeed. They're going to succeed. Israel's not going anywhere. They're not going to be pushed in the sea. But whoever lays a hand on the apple of God's eye, and right now, America, you know, you think, you have a lot of people saying about these leaders in Washington, D.C. Well, there's only 530 approximately leaders there out of 300 million people. This is, you know, we talk about we the people, you know, and everybody else always talking about that. You know what that really means? That means you selected those leaders. They're there by your choice, whether you voted or you didn't vote or whatever. America selected those leaders. So those are our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They're not our fault. We're their fault.
That's right.
Because, you know, why didn't we select leaders that actually love God, you know, love America and love Israel? And why wouldn't we have done that? And we can't point our finger. Somebody said, well, I didn't vote. Do you know 35% of Christians, reportedly, I believe it is, by wall builders, they stated that they didn't even vote at all?
Wow.
You need to vote. That's how a democracy, a republic, a representative government in this democracy, not a democratic government, but a democracy, a representative government, and it's called a republic, for which it stands, which is the pledge.
That's a pledge.
That's why they wanted to get rid of that pledge. It's about you being represented, your representative government. And so we're going to have to begin to, I think the words are, is America's going to have to be refounded again. It's going to have to come back to its original intent, that she's going to have to struggle for herself. When you see some of the prophetic words that are given about some tough times are coming to coming to America, very tough times.
I like what you've said before in the program, that what if America, the real America, hasn't even begun yet? What if we just...
I really don't. So I really believe, you know, when you see a country that finds God, its leader finds God, and they just openly go, Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I dedicate our nation to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, not to, you know, some, you know, whatever they perceive it is. And then God blesses that country. And imagine when we get through this, because, you know, In God We Trust came on after wars and difficulties. They begin to put that in different things. And One Nation Under God came in after that as well. I think World War II. And so a difficult time. America's got to decide, the church in America at least has got to decide who is our God. And we had this teaching, hopefully it'll be made available to our partners here, you know, about America, about the times that we're in, that God has a word over America. But you can't be more concerned about the ship, this country, than you are about people. God loves people. He loves you. He's not in love with the Constitution of America. He's not in love with your political schemes and ideas. He's not even in love with your religious institutions. He's in love with you. He loves you. He died for you. And we have to be people focused, you know, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. And the best thing you can do, you know, is pray, prepare, abide. And we have available for you right now, if you sign up for our newsletter, it's called The Torch. It's called Prudent Preparation, because a prudent man sees danger and prepares for it, but a fool keeps going and suffers for it. And it'll be just free for you to be able to sign up as a gratitude type thing. But it also will help you begin to think outside the box, because you got to quickly do it, because things are happening and prophecy is being fulfilled. I just want to pray right now and just ask the Lord. This is some very significant times, and we just want to call out to God. You know, Father God, we love you. We know that you're in complete control, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, that if we did not stand up as you want us to, that you would forgive us, but give us boldness. I pray for boldness to come to your church, God, to the believers, to Christians who follow you, Jesus, that boldness would come and we would begin to unite, not around political ideas and schemes, around the cross, around you, Jesus. I pray for the church to arise and understand how to be civil in a civil land, civil Christians in a civil land, Father God. I pray for unity to come together, Father God, around you for your purposes, God. I pray protection over Israel, Lord God, that you would be with them and give them wisdom, Lord God, that you would end, you would empower Congress to cancel this treaty, sign whatever it is, sign this agreement, signed with Iran, that it would come to naught, that it would end, Father God, and these nuclear weapons, nuclear capabilities would not be in Iran, God. Lord, and we ask you, Lord, forgive America for even being a part of this, God. We ask in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would end abortion and that you would send revival, send a third great awakening. We ask in Jesus' name. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.